Turn with me to the first chapter of the book of Nehemiah. The last two verses of this chapter. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. My subject this morning on these two texts is the real servants of God in revival. And in these two texts, you have five things set forth concerning the real servants of God when God moves in revival. First of all, you will notice their attribute. What is the attribute of these people? What marks them out distinctly in separation from everyone else? You'll find that in the words, redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. The attribute of the real servants of God. Number one. In these verses that I read to you, Nehemiah records the sad history of a backslidden Israel who turned from the true and living God to serve the idols of the people that surrounded them. And because of that, they lost their fatherland. The heathen nations came and destroyed the beautiful land of Israel and Judah. Far from home they were taken away as helpless slaves. The light of the promise of a faithful God that was a star of hope to that remnant race burned in the hearts of a few people. One of them was, of course, Nehemiah. And he reminded God of his promise, that God said if they returned and repented and rejected their sinning and their ungodliness, God would reverse what had happened. Nehemiah came to the conclusion that the time had come for God to return the slaves to their freedom, and that the Jewish people would again occupy the land that was promised to them. He was different from Elijah, this man, Nehemiah, for he didn't pray a prayer that was his own prayer. His prayer, please notice, was linked with the prayer of thy servants. Look at verse 11. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant. Hear my prayer, Lord, but hear the prayer of thy servants. Do you remember Elijah? Elijah said, I am left. But it was completely untrue. For God had already told Elijah that I have left me 7,000 in Israel. All of the knees that have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. There were thousands of men in Israel who didn't follow after Baal. God has always a remnant. It may be small, but it is faithful. And it neither turns to the right hand nor the left. I was thinking, Nehemiah was no Sinn Feiner. He didn't say me and me alone. No. He was united with others. The Lord knows them that are His. There are many people in the world today just as good as you are, and they're just as earnest as we are, mourning the evils of our day and remaining steadfast in the faith. Never you get into the condition that you think you're the only one. What utter nonsense. God has a people in this world of ours. And God will answer the prayers of His own believing people. C.H. Spurgeon, in one of his sermons, says, I think it would be better to go a little further and to believe that you, if you are earnest, there are others who are still more earnest than you are. And that if you possess a deep tone piety, there are some who have even more than you have. So instead of separating yourself and saying, I am left, you should meet up with your brethren and sisters in Christ. You should share with them your desire for a revival. And together you should join with them in faith that God will send revival in our own day and in our own generation. So much for the wonder of it all, that there was an attribute of these servants. They had been redeemed by God's great power and by His strong right hand. But secondly, please note that these real servants of God in revival, they not only had the attribute of being real servants, but they had the anxiety of the real servants of God. And what does the man of God pray? He says, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant. Are you anxious that it doesn't seem that God is answering the prayers of His people? Have you an anxiety in your heart? Oh God, the people that are praying for revival, wilt thou not hear their prayer? And mysteriously, and wonderfully, and miraculously answer it. When the four young men met at the old Kells schoolhouse, the people laughed, and they said, four fools meeting in the schoolhouse for a revival. Who do they think they are? Fools. There's none of them educated. There's none of them have made their mark in the world. Four young farmhands, all daring to meet and say, we're going to pray for revival. But that didn't stop them. Instead of stopping them, it stirred them into agony. And as they agonized with God, suddenly God started to pick another one, and another one, and another one. And at the end of a few months, the schoolhouse was too small. And they had to move out of the schoolhouse. And so they took to the open air, and they started to preach. And then the people said, the cheek on them. They've prayed in the schoolhouse, and now they're out in the street. Haven't we churches? Haven't we ministers? Haven't we plenty of religion? No! They had plenty of religion, but it wasn't a religion with fire. But there broke out a great outburst of power. I knew the family, the Quilt family. I knew them as a young boy. And the old man in the household was a man of God. One of these men that prayed. And when you started to talk about revival, that man, he caught fire again. You couldn't get away with him. His son told me that he took ill once, and he said they came to see him, some of his friends, and he was lying very tired and weary in his bed. And every symptoms of illness and weakness. And he started to talk about the revival. And before they could stop him, he had sat up in bed. And before they could stop him, he had his legs out of the bed. And before they could stop him, he was walking up and down in the bedroom telling of the wonderful revival. It was the best medicine he could take. And he was cured. He didn't need to go back to bed. This fire that was burning after many years. Notice that there is a cry here in this man's heart, and it is a cry for a relationship of God's own making. What does he say? He says, I want you to hear the cry of thy servant and thy servants. We want no other testimony, but God answers our prayers. What a holy thing it is. What a miraculous thing it is when you can say of a man, God answers his prayers. During the years of the war, I was studying for the ministry in the Barry School of Evangelism. That school came about by the salvation of a Baptist minister. And that man became a firebrand. And when the 1904 Welsh Revival broke out, he became one of its leaders. But he was known in Wales as the man who prayed and God answered his prayers. That's what he was known as. What a testimony. He was minister of Porth Baptist Church. And one Sabbath morning, he arrived at the church. And his deacons were there, and they were all looking hot and bothered. And he said, "What's wrong with you men? I'm going in here to preach. You're a miserable lot of men. Never saw such faces." And the chief deacon said to him, "Sir, I want to tell you we've got bad news." He said, "What's the bad news?" He said, "This town has always been a Sabbath-keeping town. But we've just received word that in a couple of Sundays from today, there's going to be a carnival with all sorts of entertainments, plenty of drinking and mocking of God." "Well," he said, "don't look so miserable. I'll have a word with God about this." So he got them all on their knees, and he just said, "Oh Lord, I haven't time now to discuss this fully with you, but I will do that when I get home. But I'm just saying, I expect you to look after the honor of your own name and just stop this." And in the pulpit that morning, he announced he was going to have a further word with God about this. When he got home from the church service, who was on his doorstep but the man that was going to organize the carnival? And he was as white as snow. And he said to the minister, R.B. Jones was his name, he said, "Mr. Jones, I've come to plead with you. Please do not pray. I have seen you in the past praying for people, and God answered your prayers. Some of them were smitten down in sickness and died. Some of them met with motor accidents. Some of them were just swept to the face of the earth." He said, "Mr. Jones, I don't want that to happen to me. There'll be no carnival." Mr. Jones said, "Very good. Very good. Good day to you." And there was no carnival. We need men like that, that can pray and lay the axe to the root of the tree. The power of a man. And this is what this text is about. The prayer of God's servants. God's servants should appeal to God's honor and plead that God will honor his name and honor his son and honor his book. And if we hold on to God to vindicate His honor, how greatly will He vindicate it? It's not only an appeal to God's honor, it's an appeal to God's love. God loves the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Redemption brought at highest cost, He offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love. The love of God to me, it brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. The saddest things in our work for God today is the fact that we're not getting our prayers answered. And you know what we need to do? We would need to stop praying and we would ask God to search our hearts. When the heart is clean, God will answer the prayer of that heart. What is it that keeps us from having so many unanswered prayers? Sin! And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The real servants of God in the world today desire that their prayers should be fully answered by the God of the whole earth. That God would listen to our insistent and incessant plea. They are on the job of beseeching God. A lot of people have lifted their foot off the accelerator in the prayer meeting and they pray no more. Instead of their prayers becoming faster and faster and louder and more pleading, to get the business done, they have stopped. Inconsistency is the order of the day among the churches of Christ today. This is a continued burden. The answer required is an unburdening of our hearts. If God doesn't answer prayer, I'd rather that He would take me out of this world than keep me in a world where His prayers are not answered. When we start to get serious with God, God will start getting serious with us. The fervent intercessor is what we want. The man that refuses to be silent. The man who is burning and has a burden that he must unload. He is well aware he must not stop praying. This would be retreat. This would be surrender. No, the burden must be lifted by God, who has so ordered it. God is the rewarder of who? Who does God reward? He rewards those who diligently seek Him. The church needs a baptism of diligently seeking God. Except the Lord releases, and the answer is then so mighty and great that there is not room enough to receive it. The burden will remain. In this type of intercession, there can be no discharging until the price of getting the answer is fully paid. The pleader must rejoice in the answer. If in answering the prayer, God's heart rejoices, then the heart of the person that offered the prayer will rejoice. And uncountable hundreds of converts, their hearts will furthermore rejoice. There's a verse that tells us, go to the ant, thou sluggard. The sluggards that have been produced in this century in regard to prayer can't be counted. There are sluggards in the church who don't pray. Oh, when the winds blow in the opposite direction, and when the sorrow comes, they run to people who they know can pray. But they shouldn't run anywhere. They should run themselves to the throne of grace. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. One final word. The aim of the real servants of God. We have looked, first of all, this morning at the servants of God, and we have discovered their attribute, their anxiety. But what about the aim? If you look at my text, you'll find they aimed to prosper. Not looking for adversity. They're looking for prosperity. The fear of the Lord is what? It's the beginning of wisdom. It is in the furnace of desire we can excel for God. We must always remember that it is in the furnace of the fire of desire that we are able to walk the road God would have us traverse. The desire is a starting place where we commence our race for God. Everything about our walk with God should be triggered and maintained by desire. Take, for example, repentance. No one ever repented who did not desire to repent. It's the Holy Spirit that makes man repent. The man repents because he is unable to do what he wants to do. Repent of his sins and turn to Christ. Do you remember David? He wanted to build the temple. But God wouldn't let him build the temple. And you know what the Lord said to him? Whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto his name, thou didst dwell that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house. Thy son that shall come out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name. But God accepted the will for the deed. And he blessed David accordingly, so that David was able to gather up before he died everything that was needed to build the house. He wasn't allowed to build it, but he was allowed to gather everything that was needed. We are called upon today to start the building of God's house. And we have a firm promise. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And if I and see that I will open the windows of heaven, and I'll pour out a blessing. Listen, that there'll be not room enough to receive it. Not room enough. To receive it. Do you believe God? Do you believe His word? Take it to your heart. And I trust today God will see the attribute of the real servants of God in this house. He'll see the anxiety of the real servants of God in this house. And He'll see the aim of the real servants of God in this house. Let us bow our heads. O Lord our God, break our hearts, conform us to Thy will, take away our sins and our iniquities, take away our wickedness, and turn us to Thee with tears of repentance, that we might weep o'er the erring one, that we might lift up the fallen, that we might tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Take away from us the things that cause sorrow in my heart, and instead of rejoicing over us, You have sorrow and anguish and pain over our carelessness and our sinfulness and our worldliness. Turn us, O God, to Thee, and we shall be turned. And may Thy grace and Thy mercy and Thy peace be with us. And the people of God said, Amen. God bless you.